Hey everybody, since we're talking about Inception, I got one of my good friends to come on the program and talk to us. It's Leonardo DiCaprio. Thanks for coming on, Leo.
No problem at all.
It's such an honor to have you on, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is your first podcast, is that right?
It's incredible, sir. Can't tell you how excited I am.
Well, I'm excited too. And hey, you don't have to call me sir. We're old pals. Just feel free to let loose and we can talk about whatever you want.
Is this stuff regulated, or are you guys, what are you doing here?
Well, it's a podcast, so it's somewhat regulated, I guess. And I mean, you know podcasts. It's on everybody's phones.
I'm not following you, I'm sorry.
Okay, I thought I was clear before, but maybe we can just postpone this and do it another time.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Whoa, hey, man, don't be rude, okay? And you know what? I don't even know if you're actually Leonardo DiCaprio, my good friend. Who the hell are you?
I am a federal marshal.
Okay, I knew it. What a disaster. This is such a waste of time. I'm probably gonna regret this, but do you have any parting words?
I murdered my wife in the spring of 52.
Oh no, I'm playing these off of a soundboard on the internet. That's my mistake, everybody. I'll fix that later.
Bad science. Did the movie get it right? Bad science. Or will we have to fight?
Hi, I'm Ethan Edinburgh, the host of Bad Science, and welcome to this episode. We're talking about Inception, an incredible Christopher Nolan film with the exceptionally talented comedy duo, Kim and Aaliyah. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good, yeah.
Wonderful.
Pretty good.
And we've been talking with Dr. Raj, as you may know him, Dr. Raj Dasgupta. He's the pulmonary critical care and sleep specialist at Keck Medicine at USC.
And you got that correct. Thank you very much.
No problem.
We had some spelling problems earlier.
That's true. Was it my fault?
But you created a whole new branch of medicine for a second, you know?
Yeah,
but
I'm glad
we got
that,
called. Yes.
So, Inception. Have you guys seen it recently?
Of course.
You've got to be prepared for these things.
You don't want to come cold turkey, then,
of course,
you know, get shown up on.
Did you guys see it when it first came out also?
No,
yes, I did.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cause drama.
There was drama
there. Yeah, now this is weird.
I did see it for the first time this morning.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
True.
Okay.
Well, my experience is opposite. I saw it when it came out because it came on the tail of The Dark Knight.
Right.
And that was a huge moneymaker. I still think it's
giant
in the top
film.
10 of all times.
Yes.
And Nolan was the hip director. Mm-hmm. So it did make a lot of money, and I did see it, and you know what? I loved the movie initially, but thanks to this show you put me on, I think I don't like the movie anymore.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
It turned you around.
You know, you had to do your due diligence. You go in to see what people say about it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of freaking bored people out there.
Yeah.
They, I mean, people were analyzing this and this. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, I wouldn't call the movie boring.
By far. But I think the thought process was, is the movie too smart for us?
Or are we too
dumb for the movie?
Yes.
That was the whole thing going into it.
Yeah.
What if you feel right?
Yeah.
That's fine.
What if you feel smarter than the movie?
That's fine. You can have that opinion too.
I wish I had that.
Yeah, I felt.
One day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I saw it in theaters also and then watched it again last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a point where I was like, ugh, this isn't as good as I remember. And it was just like...
Do you think that was because it was on a smaller screen?
No, because our TV is huge. But I mean, yeah,
oh,
I guess it was.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't.
Cool.
So I was
making
like,
a lot of money.
Dropping
those money things, you know.
No, we got that for free.
Yeah, we got it for free. That's true. I will say I found it much more comical this time around. And maybe it's because the effects were so... jaw-dropping the first time.
Okay.
Because you'd never seen something like that before. And I think it won like 4 Oscars, and one of them was for cinematography and for special effects, and I totally get that. But I don't know why watching it this time, it just seemed like kind of funny.
I think it was kind of cheesy. Like, the dialogue just seemed like a little like, why are they all screaming at each other, like,
right.
in the first half of the movie?
Yeah, and there's always like, they use like this bwong sound in the
Oh, don't
trailer.
Be right on that song. I mean, isn't that the movie that kind of intended the tone, you know,
yes.
I mean, for all these movies going forward.
Yeah,
I think so.
Like, every trailer was like the Inception trailer
but,
for like 10 years.
I think when you tell someone that you're going to scrutinize the movie, that's when we kind of pick apart mm-hmm. every word they say and why right. did they do this and what was the purpose of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I agree. That's why I'm just like, yeah, afterwards, I'm like, I don't know. But I did the opposite. So I did mm-hmm. poor sleep hygiene, you know, bad sleep doctor. I didn't watch it on the TV or this huge home theater that you have.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I
it,
actually...
It is an IMAX. It is an IMAX.
Yeah, we have an IMAX
Sorry.
Theater.
I'll
yeah.
say that now.
Put it on my
IMAX.
iPhone like many people do. And I did the worst thing, which mm-hmm. is take your phone in bed. That's a no-no.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and I was watching mm-hmm. it
did
while...
Did you lay down and watch like this or be on your side?
Yeah.
Well, I went through the headphones, and the, you know, yeah. my okay. paycheck allows me to get the Beats headphones.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
I dished
that's
it out okay. for that.
Whoa,
you know,
we, you thought we
so
were.
Had the Beats over here.
Wow.
Where's
and I watched
the
paychecks?
it.
We'll talk about it afterwards.
I don't know.
No, but it gets me riled up. I was excited to come here.
So actually, I wanted to ask about. I was going to get into it later, but yeah. since you mentioned it, there I came across something that was talking about. Having the phone in bed, because a lot of people do that now.
Yeah.
They're like, look at the phone,
yeah.
last thing. And yeah. it said that you should shut off your phone 30 to 60 minutes before you go to sleep because the light could prevent the release of melatonin.
It's not have to be Dr. Raj.
Yeah.
All right, I was wanting to be more lax.
We're gonna,
okay.
I'm going to flip you on and off.
So the big topic, everyone, is something called blue light. Have you folks heard of blue light?
I've heard
yeah.
of it.
Yes.
So blue light's a regular wavelength of light like in normal sunlight. And the big thing is that blue light will suppress a very special hormone released from your pineal gland in the brain, and that hormone is called
melatonin.
Which gland?
Yep.
Bam.
Bam. Wait, Kim didn't
do it. Down. Oh. Yeah. And you need melatonin to help you sleep. Uh-huh. So I think the I'm just complimenting that great.
No, it's great.
That's
it
why we have residents
yeah.
and fellows
yeah.
on the show.
Okay. Yeah.
So the big thing was is that you have technology out there now saying, you know what, if you want to do tech technology in bed, you want to bring your iPhone, your iPad, as long as you do the blue light shade, which is on your phones, it should be okay.
Oh.
But I'm not really worried about that. I love the technology. I love the science behind it. But the thing is, put technology away. Because what do we have? This Pavlovian reflex to be, what, in hands distance of our cell phone at all
mm-hmm.
times?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'll worry if you glance at it, but you know what that leads to? The email, the texting, what did your mom say, how much money you're not making. Mm-hmm. Then you don't transition to sleep, so you got
to
put
your
technology away.
How much
did I say that?
Oh, no!
Yeah.
What does
well,
that mean?
Well, that was my subconscious.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Okay. So, like you said before, it was a huge film, Inception.
Yes.
It made like $860 million
I'll
worldwide.
I'll take your word for that. Yep.
Which is completely crazy.
Yep.
It's in like the top 100
it's
grossing
definitely.
Films of all time. I know, I think it's like 60, something like that. So, I just wanted to know if you guys dug the film or not.
After you
like
made
you
it
said,
or the first,
very,
time?
I mean, maybe just right now, because it is, like you said, it's very polarizing. There are people that came out of Inception and
okay.
just absolutely hated the film. I found out online and also from talking to friends over the years.
Right.
And then people also swear by it and say
yep.
it's Nolan's best movie. So I'm personally somewhere in the middle. I like the movie, but I also found that it was like there are things that are very silly. And like I wanted to pick apart, but there's no time.
Yeah.
Like, it just
yeah.
moves forward
yeah.
so fast. And
right,
I'm like, well,
right,
screw
right.
it. You know, like on to the next thing, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say in the bigger picture, I do like it. You know what I mean? I think that, like, I'm analyzing a little bit more now. It's a great film to have on your selection on your iPad. You're on a plane. You just
oh,
want to
yeah.
analyze
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm. Great
Being
call.
A sleep doctor, I see why you invited me here. The bigger topic, which you're going to mention to me, is
mm-hmm.
lucid dreaming.
I want to get to it, yeah.
I know
sure.
you'll get to it.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I mean, that's why I'd love to watch it again and kind of see how he plays off this. So,
yeah.
yes, I do like it. Yes, I'll watch it again.
Okay.
Despite yeah.
all that. And recommend it to a friend.
I will recommend it to a friend.
Okay.
All right.
You can do it right now. Call someone.
Okay, give me a second.
Prove it.
Hello, resident fellows. You're going to be watching this.
Kim, sir?
I liked it overall. It's
okay.
really definitely very goofy and dumb. but I did like it.
It's like known as being like the smart action movie.
It's goofy yeah. and I sort of intellectually was above it.
Yeah.
It's just hard when you're so much smarter than the script.
Right, yeah.
Oh, my.
No, I... No, I liked it. My biggest problem was how many times the characters said a dream within a dream.
Oh my God,
yes.
I know. I
yeah.
would laugh at like every time
every...
they said, because you also get that noise too.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
it's in the background, but anytime someone says like, wait, what do you mean? Another level, a dream within a dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted
funny.
To get
Come
to
on.
A point where it was like a dream within a bomb.
Yeah.
They don't even finish
yeah,
the phrase.
Yeah. They just start doing that
That's
through.
So great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But overall, I would recommend it to my friend Leah.
Yeah,
okay,
she's
sure.
already seen it, so
yeah, yeah.
I probably won't.
It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I liked it too, I think. And I'd like to just keep my first impression of it
mm-hmm.
when I watched
yep.
it originally.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, maybe now I'm just, like, on purpose watching it with, like, an angle of, like, what's wrong with this or
yeah.
whatever. But, yeah, I'm going to say I liked it as
okay.
well.
It's yeah. not, yeah, it's not a... on a plane, I can see, because on a plane, you kind of want something. You don't really have to think about that much. Right. It's kind of just.
And it has the scene on the plane, so.
And right, yes. Which makes you
that
feel.
That was good foreshadowing of this podcast right here.
Yeah.
But as far as like repetitive views, I don't see myself every year just being like, I want to watch Inception.
If someone was like, what's my favorite film? Inception. Then I would like kind of judge them a little bit about that.
Right, yeah.
And then I'd be like, what did you think of the
ending? That's funny.
Yeah.
Like it's not Star Wars, E.T. Jaws. It's. Inception number one.
It's like a little bit lame, I guess.
But I think the thing is there's the consistency within the movie. You know, I think, for example, The Kick. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What is The Kick? You know what I mean? And why did The Kick work sometimes, but other times, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then what was that stage of sleep where you'll be lost in there and never
limbo,
come out?
Oh, Limbo, yeah.
Yeah, like where the, out of the butt. There's Limbo.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It was
they it's kind of last minute, right?
Yes.
Like it's just like they hide the chemist
information
for so long.
From them.
Yeah.
Like and from the audience like throughout the movie, and then we just get random like, oh, by the way, there's this huge
risk. You can't actually die in this.
Yeah. Right,
yeah. What?
Ellen Page, who is like his father-in-law's Michael Caine's like best and brightest student.
Right.
And he's like, even, you know, I don't know if I should give her to you. Like you're just gonna you know, now she's gonna be a thief and whatever. He like doesn't tell her anything.
Yeah.
He, you know, he just basically uses her for her
maze. But then later in the movie, she knows more than everyone else.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Well, why don't we just do this?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that part was hilarious, by the way.
And it was weird because like, it was Ellen Page or whatever her name is, who was saying, to Cobb.
Yes,
DiCaprio saying like,
Cobb.
You know, are you gonna tell about Maul, his wife? You know, I mean, keep it a secret. I'm like, keep it a secret. Everyone's seen Maul already throughout. They all know she's wandering around doing things. I know. Yeah.
And that guy's been like working with him for years, and like he kind of knows or doesn't know.
I will say, I got sick of seeing those kids.
Yeah,
that was annoying.
It's like, was his only memory of them just in that one moment?
Oh my God.
Their outfits or anything.
Because he kept saying, he said like two or three times that he wanted to just see their faces one last time. That was like a huge regret.
Right.
But he didn't. It's like, how many times did you see their faces the rest of their lives? You just didn't see it one time before you left. You don't have a picture. You don't have.
Well, he did live like 50 years or whatever in that other
movie. Oh, right. Limbo.
There you go. Limbo.
That's true.
Oh, speaking of Limbo, this is my biggest thing. So in the opening scene, you know, he goes in the limbo. You don't know what's going on. He sees the. I think it's the Asian character who's very old. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, they both entered limbo almost at the same time because he died first.
But
so, according to the times, chronologically, why are they both old? How can he super old, like super geriatric nursing home? He's like,
He doesn't age well,
I didn't understand that. You know?
DiCaprio would age, though.
Yeah,
that's true.
You
he's going to look
for DiCaprio.
Yeah.
I mean, you're defending DiCaprio right now.
How can you not have a thing for DiCaprio?
He is the Wolf of Wall Street, you know what I mean?
That's true.
And
Jack.
Was he Jack?
And Jack. No. You're thinking of the Robin Williams movie. No, he was Jack from Titanic.
Wow, the iconic.
Really went
they redid Jack. None of us ever heard about it. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
And yeah, The Kick, I want to agree with you, by the way. I was thinking about that almost the entire time because The Kick also translates to like the other levels of the dream.
Yeah.
Like, once you're kicked in one, but then sometimes they're not. And then sometimes like the van will flip.
Falling, they should actually be the kick.
Right.
Yeah.
Then they're saying the sensation of falling is the kick, but then when DiCaprio in the opening scene was falling into the water, he didn't wake up until he hit the water.
Right.
That's true. Yeah.
That should be the kick. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like little things like the consistency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's only why I'm caring about this. During the movie, I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever.
This kind of thing happens to me all the time, by the way, on the podcast, where it's we go to a movie, and I'm like, oh, I love this movie. Thank God we're doing it. Let me rewatch it. And as I'm watching and taking notes, I'm realizing, like, this is all so dumb. Now I hate this movie. Why did they do this?
Thank God you didn't invite me for Rogue One, because I love that movie, and I'll be really upset being here. You know what I mean? All right, good.
Only sleep movies. Yeah. Maybe The Science of Sleep, which I love, so I hope we don't tarnish that movie. But let's talk about the lucid dreaming, which you mentioned.
Yeah.
Because
can I ask them what it is first? Kind of like,
Yeah, do whatever you
fellows.
Want. Absolutely.
Okay. Ladies, so how would you define a lucid dream?
It's like a dream where you're aware it's a dream.
I would describe it as a dream within a dream.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
I just need a button that makes that noise the whole time.
Just edit it in.
She's like, that gunner resident, you know what I mean? Waiting for the intern to get it wrong. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what it should be defined as.
Can you please go ahead? Am I the intern?
Yeah. For some reason, you're taking like a lower wrong every time here. But whatever, we're going to go with it.
That's interesting.
So you're 100% correct. You know, it's realizing.
Both of us? Okay, interesting.
You're both right. You know what I mean? That it's a dream. Realize you're dreaming in a dream. So if you ask doctors and scientists and PhDs, what do you think about it? It's like talking about aliens to society. You know, half the group will say, yep, I believe it. The other half is like, no way. Because what's the big thing about a dream? You can't really prove it. You know, it's kind of like, what did you dream about? How can I say you didn't dream?
Right.
But if you pull everyone in this room, the cameraman and those people over there, they're going to say, yeah, someone had a lucid dream.
Yeah.
So what is the entry level lucid dream? It's kind of when you fall asleep and something really nut bar is happening to you where you're like, example, you're flying.
Okay.
And the minute you're flying in a dream, you're like, wow, I must be
dreaming.
There you go. And that's how he's like my go-to resident over there.
I knew that one.
And that's where the phrase came from. It came from realizing you're going to be dreaming. So,
sorry, not listening to anything you're saying.
They're both very outspoken.
Yeah. And that's why, like, if I feel like I'm in the hospital being chased by water buffalo, I know I'm dreaming. And the most common, like, lucid dream is always nightmares. Mm. And on that note, who could tell me the classic horror movie which is based on a lucid dream?
It's a horror movie based on a lucid dream.
One of the classic ones.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Boom!
Wow!
I'm like a hot right there.
I put the wrong sound.
No, do
one.
That's different.
It's Inception 2 sound.
That's my sound,
And that's where the movie starts off well. I think the overall concept is it lucid dreaming? And then you kind of invite people like me to talk about it.
Yeah.
But then the other thing that really just no one believes in is the word dream sharing. Because how did this actually think happen?
Yeah.
You got to share our dreams.
Yeah.
That means all four of us got to be hooked up to some IV action.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Got to infuse.
Which
like,
I thought was great, by the way. Because it's not near
the
head. We were
talking on the ride over.
Uh-huh.
Seems like it should be connected to your head.
Right.
Like you're like... blood?
Well,
blood change
I was sleep? Almost going to get your back on that.
Ooh.
Almost.
Okay.
So here's the thing. I mean, I would say this. I mean, she wanted to put the medication right in the brain.
Yes.
Not a good idea. I'm not going to go for that. You know what I mean? It's kind of like putting it in your spinal cord, like the CSFs.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? No.
Why is that too direct?
I like the IV action. Okay. Because you know what? Many people do it, meaning that, for example, we all know a very famous person who took a very, very potent sedative and never woke up.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
So I was going to say, when you're talking about the sedatives they're talking about to knock you out for 10 hours continuous infusion, you know it had to be very short half-life, very potent to get to those stages of sleep. Okay. So I don't mind it going through the IV. When she pointed to the brain, you know what will make it the awesome thing? Is to put something called an EEG, kind of like monitoring your brain waves. Now, why did I say that? I'm going to go super doctor on you.
Please.
Because there are,
We're not going to.
There are like different stages of sleep. You know, we have non-REM and REM. And then the thing is that in REM, we have our N1, N2, N3, then REM sleep. So if you're going to do some inception, you need to get, I love that thing, inception. You got to do some deeper stages of sleep. And how do you know you're on those deeper stages unless you have what?
Oh,
the EEG to get the brain waves. That would be money.
Right.
So when they're going down, it's not like you just fall asleep, boom, I'm in REM.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Which they made it seem like
And you know what? They kind of like dropped something in the movie I thought was really nice. They said that, well, if you want to plant a thought, and that was the whole thing. So I thought this was the cool part, you know, was talking about the subconscious. And if you, and I was really like preparing for this one.
Please.
So I did do it. All right.
You're
know the part
great.
Where I
know.
you know the part where they're talking in the beginning about how much of your mind you use. You only use 10%.
Right, right.
So that was the whole psychoanalyst part where I agree when you're in a awake state, you use 10% of your consciousness. You know what I mean? Which is the cortex. So the classic example is kind of like, hey, I'm hungry. You go to In-N-Out Burger. Why did you pick a double animal style fries with a Diet Coke? You know what I mean?
Right.
You think you made that conscious decision, but it's really your subconscious that helped you really make that decision. And when to get to your subconscious, think about an iceberg. On the top, it's like this big, but underneath, it's huge. Mm. So in order to plant a thought in your conscious, you have to get to your subconscious. And the only way you can get there is if you're dreaming. And they said somewhere in the movie, when they first tried to do it, they planted the thought in a lighter stages of sleep. Right. And that makes sense. Because if you really want to plant the thought, the idea, you got to plant it in a deep stage like REM sleep. Mm. So how would you know you're not in REM sleep unless you have the what?
EEG.
Mm. Boom.
Wow.
So that's what In-N-Out has done to Ethan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why yeah. I hate In-N-Out so much. Yeah. Somebody got into my deep sleep.
Yeah. There you go.
Now he overorders.
Yeah.
A lot. I always take one home for later. Okay, so about the, first of all, for the subconscious, they said that it's motivated by emotion and not reason. And that through...
The subconscious, right?
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Is that true? Okay.
Yeah.
And that in hypnosis, we can recall, like, our memory is really good in the subconscious, but in our conscious mind, we don't have the, I don't know, the RAM, so to speak, to, like, recall a bunch of stuff from our lives.
So I would say it's a little pop science there. We're kind of on that border where it's like, is this Dr. Raj territory or not? You know what I mean?
Okay. If it's not, tell me.
So, but the truth
get
is
out of
this.
Here.
The truth is this, is that, you know... If you want to help out with memory consolidation, you want to help out with cognition, you definitely want to get to the deeper stages of sleep. And what's that stage going to be? REM. That's the money sleep, you know? And when you have people who are getting good amount of sleep, you're sleeping that 7 to 8 hours, but still you're tired during the day, still you're not functioning well, you're probably having something that's causing you from getting to REM sleep, like obstructive sleep apnea or some kind of sleep disorder.
Okay.
So it does make sense that if you're not getting to those deeper stages of sleep, you're not consolidating memory, you're not working on your cognition, you're not doing well. Mm-hmm. So I do agree with the concepts that, you know what I mean, memory and consolidation, all those processes are in the deeper stages, but they're using it in a very, very odd way, you know, in the context of the movie itself.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. And yeah, I had that consolidating thing about sleep, that it actually helps your memory, and so if you're not getting enough sleep,
oh, yeah,
you won't
and that's
be able
why we're all, anyone's sleep deprived, and you tell them to take a, like a kid tells you, I'm going to do an all-nighter before taking an exam. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's the worst advice, because you know it's so important to get to the deeper stages mm-hmm. of sleep.
Hear that, kids?
Yep.
Sleep, and you'll remember for your test. Can I get you guys saying that also?
For sleep, you'll remember
sleep, and you'll remember for your test.
PSA. Kimberly and Dr. Ross. okay, I mean, I have a lot of stuff about sleep. I don't know if you guys have more
Wait,
thoughts
I have a
on
question.
The movie. Oh, go.
Is it true that we don't know why we sleep? I've heard that.
Ooh.
She prepared for that one. That wasn't a clean butt pull right there. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
And I didn't.
And so I'm going to answer that one. I'm going to step up to the mic.
Legit.
Great question. So the answer is there's a big debate going out there about is sleep or dreaming? Which one?
Ooh. Sleep.
Sleep. Yes. The big debate is, what is the purpose of sleeping? It's to actually restore, to regenerate. Mm-hmm. And why do we do that? It's both for our body and both for our mind. And so I'll even take it to the next level. I know she didn't directly ask this. It's about why we dream, you know? Mm-hmm. And that is even a hotter topic,
right.
You know? And the
you chose the wrong one. I'm going to give you the option.
I meant dream. Wait, I meant, what did I say?
Sleep.
Oh, I meant dream.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so
similar.
Is dreaming going to have a primary purpose? We dream because we need to do this. Or is dreaming a secondary reaction, meaning that it's something else that's going on in your life, and that's why you dream. Mm-hmm. So in theory, now you're making me go pop science. This is not what I trained for. But the big thing is like, well, when you have memories during the day, like, this was awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm really having fun. You know what I mean? This is photo album. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it goes into my subconscious.
Okay.
And you know, when you're sleeping, your higher cortex, which is your consciousness, is trying to understand what did you do during the day? What are all these memories and things? And they try to organize that thought.
Mm-hmm.
And the way your higher cortex is organizing that thought is making dreams.
Gotcha.
And sometimes your dreams don't make a lot of sense because it's overwhelming amount of input. I'm looking here, I was there, I was at work today, I'm coming home. All these things are happening. And mm-hmm. that's why the theory is when you get these snippets of dreams, you never know when they begin. Because
right.
they're just randomly going through your photo album trying to organize these thought processes.
Mm-hmm.
So is it a primary reason why we dream? Does it serve a purpose? Or is it a reaction to something else?
Yeah.
That's the
mm-hmm.
hottest topic out there.
Okay, so
Excellent.
Maybe we'll know
yep.
at some point.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Thank you.
I'm really impressed.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to jump back to lucid dreaming for a second because I want to know if you guys have ever done it, if you guys have tried it, if you keep a dream journal, which is supposedly like the best way to practice to get to lucid dreaming. And then I wanted to ask you if this is true, because I read that it's impossible in dreams to do certain things. It's impossible to read text. It's impossible to look at a clock because the clock will be doing like weird things or mm-hmm. not saying the time right. So
Let them go first. Let me hear if they lucid dream.
Oh, and your reflection. Sorry, that's the other thing. You can't see yourself because you'll like look weird, or you're like
vampires or something.
Yeah, that's vampires.
Oh, I was reading about vampires this morning.
With the garlic and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, okay, my fault.
I've been sleeping a lot.
Yeah, I have a lot of stuff about fangs.
Yeah.
Is that not dreaming?
About hanging out with bats.
Yeah.
We're done.
So yeah, lucid dreaming. Have you guys tried or were ever interested?
I'm pretty sure I did it once. When I was really young.
Okay.
So maybe not, but okay. I was pretty sure, though. I was like eight-ish, and I was like, my dream was I was like a little pig in a video game, and I was flying, and I was aware of it, and I was super psyched, and I was like, I could fly anywhere, and then I was just flying through a video game as a pig, and I remember being really
cool. So she hit the buzzwords, flying, always makes you realize, and something very just nut bar, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Pig, video game, so yeah, that's the entry-level lucid dream.
Okay. I believe it more than, because I feel like maybe this is a memory I made up.
Yeah, that's pretty sure it's real.
A memory from your life that you were a pig flying around?
I feel like that happens, people make up, like, people have memories, oh, that's not a real memory. Yeah. That was just, I saw a photo and then my mom told me something and now it's a memory.
Okay. And dream journals, have you ever kept something like that?
I sometimes will like write an idea I had, but it wasn't like, this is what I dreamed about. It was just like, this funny thing happened. And then usually it's like incoherent or something.
Right.
When you're reading, like, oh, this is funny. And then I wake up and I write something and then I don't like really understand what it is. But yeah, I don't think I've ever lucid.
Okay. So you ask her if she's doing a dream journal, is what she's doing.
Right, yes.
All right.
Yeah.
And that doesn't surprise me because I believe, I'm kind of maybe making up these numbers a little bit, we only remember around 10% of our dreams. Because you could imagine, like, when you wake up in the morning, I'm sure you had this very elaborate dream, and then Kim asked you, like, hey, what did you dream about? It took you, what, like 5 seconds to summarize it? But the dream was so detailed.
Yeah. Right.
So that's the whole thought process about doing a dream journal. You have to do it right away.
Yeah.
Because you're going to forget most of your dream. What you write down is probably a sentence, so you dream a lot.
Right.
But I thought you asked the converse, which is, does she have a sleep journal? There's I did not. So the big thing is
need two journals.
So the big thing is, you know, for many of my patients who have actual sleep disorders, you know what I mean? You want to do a, what I call a sleep log. I don't call the journal, but I always have this little thing. Oh, here's my Hello Kitty book, and I'm doing a journal.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you do a sleep log of what you ate that
log
day.
Log sounds professional.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, the sleep diary is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I don't want to get Kim mad at me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you want her on your good side.
On the good side, you know. Yeah. So the big thing.
We're friends. It's
yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna tell you right now. She looks happy. So
she does look happy. Yeah. So the big thing is, let's say you had a bad day that the next day or whatever. It's good to know, what did you eat that day? Uh-huh. Did you have a little alcohol? Did you have some heartburn? Did you work out?
Yeah.
So when people have that bad night, that bad week, and they have insomnia or problems during the day, they look at the sleep log. You know what I mean? So there's two different words. The dream log, dream journal, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It depends what you want to do. And that's why I love the question you asked about doing a dream log, a sleep log, what you do.
Sure.
And I believe the rule of thumb is always going to be, you want to know when you're in reality, when you're not, you know, and what you do is always have cues, you know.
Spin a top.
You mean have my own totem?
Yeah, have your own totem.
I should make one right now. Maybe we're all freaking dreaming.
Let's do it. Let's craft.
Like a loaded die. So the big thing is always have reality checks. So whether it's going to be like a mark on your hand or look at something, so you always know you're in reality.
Okay.
So when you go in your dream state, you could figure it out. So any behavioral way you want to do lucid dreaming, I have zero problem with it. But when you're taking pills.
Yeah, that's a problem.
To do anything, that's a problem. That's why I have to step up and be Dr. Raj.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I heard you're also, it helps to, like, make the decision that you're going to lucid dream and, like, think of something in particular before you
sleep. Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah, someone said, like, you're supposed to think of, like, your hand or something. Like, that's what someone, I don't remember who told me that.
Guy on the street.
Yeah.
Think of your hand.
You just, like, focus on one thing that's, like,
right.
real, and then apparently you're able to lucid dream, but I've also never.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I was also told that you should in the morning. I mean, sure, that makes sense. Look at your hand. I was told that in the morning
that
you should also like not do anything. You should like lie there. The first thing when you wake up is like lie there with your eyes closed and just try and recall really strong
and
as much as you can, and then log.
Okay, I thought you were gonna say this.
Okay.
Was you should stay in bed and try to get some lucid dreaming. Why? It's because we have a circadian rhythm. And we have a sleep cycle per se. Mm-hmm. So when I go to sleep, I have the lighter stage of sleep, N1, N2, N stands for non-REM. Then my first REM cycle is gonna be around in 90 minutes in most individuals. So my first REM cycle is very tiny, maybe 10 minutes tops. But as we go towards the morning, I have more REM sleep, longer periods, which is why when you wake up in the morning, you usually wake up from a
REM dream?
Mega dream. So I thought you were saying in the morning, that's your chance to get some, you know, lucid dreaming because you want to have more chance to get into what? REM sleep.
Okay. That makes sense.
Do you lucid dream a lot?
I actually haven't lucid dreamed, but I love the theories behind it. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you, I have a line of patients to come and tell me about their lucid dreaming.
Wow.
And I think like doing podcasts like this, going on the doctors and talking about it, it makes me aware because I think that.
Did you get jealous?
A tad little bit. You know, when they say I whipped out the lightsaber, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
That's
why can't I do that? Yeah, you know what I mean?
Cool. So have you, do you keep a sleep log? I mean, do you try to.
So everyone always asks this question. They always like, Dr. Raj, how do you sleep? I'm not going to lie, I sleep pretty freaking great. You know what I mean?
And then when would you lie about that?
Yeah. I would brag about that.
It's like, and people always scrutinize it because people always ask, who would you treat if you have a sleep problem? And it's not really what happens at night. It does matter, don't get me wrong. But my question is always going to be, how are you functioning during the day?
Mm-hmm.
So someone always scrutinized me and said, I thought you're supposed to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep, but you know what? I sleep six.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what do you do? It's, well, I won 3 gold medals, a Pulitzer Prize, and I won a TV show. I'm like, what are you worried about?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That sounds
so
good.
So how you're functioning during the day.
Who is that?
Who are your patients?
Yeah, give me a list of your patients.
But if you're sleeping, let's say, 7 hours or 8 hours, and you have daytime fatigue and you have daytime sleepiness, trouble with school, relationships, job, then maybe that's the one we need to focus on. So what happens during the day, really focus on how much I really want to work you up and treat you.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Back to Inception, dude.
I was going to ask you. I mean, honestly, whatever, Inception. Although I will say I have a note here about the snowy dream where they're in the like snow mountains because they design these dreams. And it seems like the snow is such a difficult thing
to
navigate.
They make a joke about it.
But not one of the guys who's on the team. What's his name? I forget his name in the movie. Fisher? Isn't that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Cillian Murphy?
Yeah,
he says, right? He's the one that's like, who did this? They're like, oh, whatever, we gotta go.
That is funny. Like, now, let me just kind of ask you a question here. Are you a movie buff?
Yeah, I love
I'm gonna put you on the spot right here.
Yeah, go.
So I love that snow scene for one reason.
It was
an ode to one of my favorite James Bond movies of all time.
Majesty's Secret Service, isn't that the one? It's true, but it seems very inconvenient.
And that was this is a little James Bond for 2 seconds.
Please.
I grew up during the Roger Moore era, so I love the comedy part of the James Bond.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I loved Spy Who Loved Me and Moonraker and all these things. And it's weird saying that On Her Majesty's Secret Service is the best one because it's George Lazenby who played one Bond and that's it. But.
Right.
It was a great scene.
Yeah.
It was great to see it in the movie.
It was. And it looks cool. Like, don't get me wrong. It looks awesome. I love the look of, like, that whole facility in the snow.
I know.
Blowing up, like, explosions in the snow.
Yeah.
I'm down for it. The car blowing up, very cool.
Yeah.
I just, again, it just seems so
That's
inconvenient.
Honestly how they address most, like, questions whenever you're like, wait, why are they? And they go, no time. Like, let's go. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
So
or it jumps to the other dream level.
You go, it was a dream.
Oh, okay. I guess
that
makes sense.
On that note, like, if you watch the movie again, I don't know the directing technique of this, but you incorporate the dialogue of the actors to explain what's going on in the scene. So when I was watching the movie is like 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's a long one.
If we watch it again, the first 30 minutes is all like an instruction manual of what's going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
And every question that Leonard Cobb, asked, they answer it like, oh, so what you mean is if we do this, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
So it's really kind of like dialogue to explain what's going on. It's not natural dialogue.
In reality, they'd be like, why are you asking this again?
I know. And you work on the team. That's
years.
The weirdest part. It's like, you've been doing it so long and you still don't
know. The best ones,
right?
Yeah.
Supposedly.
It's like, so let me get this straight. So if I die, I go to the limbo, which is an area where and I don't
know.
They
don't know?
Yeah.
That's insane.
You're really making me nervous.
Yeah.
Ask Cobb. You did.
You
asked.
Okay, so there's a theory, activation synthesis hypothesis, that is that we don't dream and that we, I don't know, make it up. Or do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know about that theory, but I will say this will impress you even more.
Oh, great.
So if I were to ask you, what stage of sleep do we dream in? What would you say?
Yeah, what would you say?
The answer is all stages.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and I think we always focus in. And the way I give this analogy is kind of like, you wake up in the morning, you swore you dreamt.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kim comes up to you like, hey, how well did you dream last night? And you're like, I can't even describe it. Everything's kind of like a VHS, a beta. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And that's what non-REM dreams are like. You mm-hmm. definitely do dream, but the classic vivid dreams are in REM sleep. And that's what they are. And that's what they're focusing on.
Gotcha.
So just to throw it out there. But if someone told me they weren't dreaming at all, I mean, I can't say A equals B, mm-hmm. but I would say this much. You know, the most important stage of sleep you need to get to is what?
REM.
It just is. And I think we said it over and over and over again. But when you have disorders like obstructive sleep apnea or anything, you don't go to those deeper stages. That's mm-hmm. why you don't feel refreshed. Mm-hmm. Or there are many medications out there that people take. Because when we talk about the most common sleep disorder I always see is always insomnia. Who has that? Everyone in this room. I'm sure you guys have it too.
I sleep great.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Yeah. And you know what's really associated with insomnia? Depression, anxiety. And then you know you take And then you know a lot of the meds people take out there block REM. So it makes me say if you're not dreaming at all,
or
let me say this. Here, you know, have you guys heard of obstructive sleep apnea? Mm-hmm. You know, the snoring, the choking and everything.
Yeah.
I can't say A equals B here, but if someone tells me when they do have dreams, they dream of like drowning and choking, it may, you know, make me want to ask questions in the right clinical setting. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there is a purpose behind dreams.
Okay. Yeah. I also saw that a lack of sleep or REM sleep can also affect your creativity, that people who dream more are more creative.
Yeah, I would say that for a bunch of reasons. Number one, it's your subconscious. You know what I mean? And I think that the more images you could put in your mind, the more you can draw from. Now I'm sounding like the movie, you know what I mean? Yes, that's great. But it's consolidating those memories. And that's why you do better on tests and all these things.
Gotcha.
And before I forget, I'm going to go back to lucid dreaming. Is that okay?
Please, yeah. Anywhere you want.
So people always ask me, is there a medical role for lucid dreaming? So in a like a non-comedy note, one of the types of people I see quite often in my sleep center are people with PTSD. That's a sad thing.
Yeah.
I see a lot of veterans there that come in me, and there's really not medications for nightmares, for what they go through. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's psychotherapy and everything. But there are certain physicians out there, sleep doctors, that team up with, you know, with therapists to teach lucid dreaming. And people ask why. So if you have a repetitive dream, whether it's a landmine going off or someone killing you, if you could realize you're dreaming mm-hmm. in that dream, you know what you can do? Walk away from the landmine. Walk away from what's going on. Mm-hmm. Take control mm-hmm. and getting these horrible, horrible nightmares.
Gotcha.
So is this kind of in the border of real science and pop science? Yes. Are people doing it? Yes. And I do get some good responses from mm-hmm. it. So okay. You know, we're joking about it. There's Inception. There is this one little niche over there where it does help certain people.
Great.
I wanted to say cool. it to be, you know.
No, I appreciate
Dr. Light.
It.
Yeah. I'm glad you said it so I didn't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Because if you were wearing the coat, then I'd be like, okay, maybe you can go speak to that. But yeah. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we're going to play a game where you guys will interpret dreams.
Okay.
Is that cool?
Yep. Yeah. We always do that.
It's not even a game.
It's right, that's what I meant. It's not a game. It's just real
dreams.
Life interpreting dreams mm-hmm. because you guys are professionals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. Great. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. This is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the Streaming Wars. And there's a new docu-special on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast. Good One, a show about jokes, follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now only on Peacock.
The break is over. Here we go, back to the show about science.
We're back. We're still talking Inception. We're still talking dreams. We're still talking sleep. And now we're going to get to the bottom of your dreams. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've got Kim and Aaliyah, Dream Girls.
Kim and Aaliyah, Dream Girls. All right.
Yeah. You guys, from what I'm told, are going to start your own show now called Dream Girls?
Kim or, and Aaliyah, or Dream Girls. Oh, wow. Sure, a movie.
A movie?
Yeah.
Called Dream Girls.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that has legs.
Mm-hmm. All right, great. So I'm going to give you some of the common.
I can't help but to read everything on there.
No. Don't read. Don't cheat.
Why can't you control that?
Look at the camera. That's look funny. At each other. Look at this dried mango, but do not look at the
I
answers.
Never see her reading. It's crazy. So now we have to set it up for you.
And Dr. Rush, please, like we said, chime in.
I like to be the 2 cents in the background.
Yeah. Referee. Okay. Great.
Referee. Oh, nice.
I love that. Right. So this is according to exemplar.com/dream/dream-meanings.a-z.
I love that.
So it's very official.
Website,
yeah. It's a great website, which we're all familiar with. Yes. And so they have the answers to these dream interpretations. Okay. So we'll see if you guys get it right. And honestly, I'm more inclined to trust you guys than Exemplar.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the first one, if you see an alien in your dreams.
That's not a dream.
Mm-hmm. That's that happened. Answer.
They accepted that. You're mine.
All right.
We've all been there.
According to Exemplar, it means you will make valuable new friends. If your dream involved dealing or meeting with aliens, important changes are coming your way.
Yeah, your new friends are the aliens.
Yeah.
That's pretty straightforward.
I have to go a little medical on this.
Yeah, please.
And I think everyone's going to enjoy this. Okay. Can I ask our two guests?
Yeah.
Kim, Malia, have you guys ever had sleep paralysis before?
No, thank God.
No one in a room? Look at my boy over here. Why don't you get him on the table, dude?
Come show us what you look like when you're paralyzed.
So the big thing is, you know, when people have sleep paralysis, which is more common than you think, it's unique. You're going to love this. So,
I mean, so far, not so much.
All right. So we're talking a lot about REM sleep, right? What makes REM sleep different than any other stage of sleep? What makes it different? That's more of a med student question.
Your eye movements.
Correct. Hence, rapid eye movement.
Okay.
But I can't give her the high five yet.
Okay.
The answer
is...
you
can't move your body.
Correct. Oh, you are paralyzed during REM sleep.
I was going to say that.
And why do we do that? It's a natural protective mechanism. Because, you know, when you're dreaming, if you're chasing the pigs out of the window or the water buffaloes, you don't want to be moving around.
Right.
So it's protective. But there are some people where you get that disconnect where in the morning, you know what I mean, you will be awake, but your body... is stuck in REM sleep.
Oh, terrifying.
And so if you ask people with sleep paralysis, what do they really feel like and what do they see, they say aliens. Whoa. So I know, you're going to ask me why. So in different stages of history, people will kind of put into mind, what does your body do when they're paralyzed? Your mind kind of creates these images, like someone standing at the door, a monster, white. They want to wake you up to move.
Wow.
So and in the late 70s and 80s, what do they think of like aliens coming in? So you'll commonly hear about alien abduction, but it really was just sleep paralysis with your mind just trying to wake you up. So maybe when she said, why are you dreaming of aliens? Are you having a little what?
Sleep paralysis.
There you go.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, so don't worry if you see aliens. It's either real or you're just paralyzed, which is also fine.
Yeah. Wait, so what about when you dream and you're like, you fall, like the kick, actually.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
She referenced that movie. For someone who hates the movie, she referenced the movie pretty damn well.
She liked the movie.
Did she like the movie?
Yeah. All right. I think you're projecting. You hate the movie.
Wow. And with a psychoanalyst.
Oh, we're all doctors. You didn't know that?
Guys.
No, and so I think it's like the thing I didn't understand about the kick was, I mean, whether you're level one, I'm talking very dorky movie now, level two, almost to limbo, if you wake up the first level, you should wake up. You are waking up. So I didn't understand why, you mean you're so deep that you're not going to wake up, is the main thing is any type of movement, dunking the head, shaking the body, you got to wake up.
You're going
to
wake up.
Which is very odd, the way they try to explain that, no, your body will still be in this limbo area, but I'm waking
something
you up.
Something about inner ear function?
Yeah, the special drug where the inner ear is
regulate it. Yeah, they don't affect it or something. Yeah. That's why.
Very strange. Okay. Here, I'll move on. What about a cat? Guys love cats, right?
Well, what color is a cat?
Yeah.
Doesn't say.
Because I was going to say, it should answer the black cat. You know, it's very Matrix.
Well, I'm not going to have an answer.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just have
What's
cat
your answer? Just any cat?
Just
any
cats.
Old cat?
Like yeah, a cat. See a cat.
Domestic.
Is it alive?
Stray.
There is something about... It's funny you say that, because there is something about you killing the cat.
Oh.
So...
That is funny.
That's like jail
so
time.
So far away. Yes.
That's illegal.
Jail.
Well, what do you think that means? What does it mean to see a cat, and what does it mean to kill a cat?
Let them answer this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you see a cat, there are mountain lions nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh.
I like that.
All right.
So you should run, aka, walk quickly.
One time I read that cats, when you move into our house, you have to let a cat walk around, and then wherever they like, that's like the good feng shui.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow, you could reference that. That sounds really very, very good. You know,
I didn't
that's
interpret
true.
The that's dream, but it yeah. felt like the same vibe.
Yeah, it's mystical.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, apparently, they have.
Have you done that? You have a cat.
Yeah, I did. I put her bed where she slept.
That makes sense. Not really feng shui, but
it's all right. Just energy for her. Well, because I didn't want to put our bed like. Directly blocking the closet, like
or in front of the litter box. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah, horrible. Gonna hate that. All right, a generally unfortunate omen indicating treachery and deceit among those you trust. If you killed the cat, you will defeat the purpose of your detractors. If you chased it away, you may expect a sudden stroke of luck. You guys got all that?
Yeah.
So kind of complex.
Yeah, I could repeat it back.
Yeah.
It's not just about seeing the cat. It's about what happened there.
Killing a cat.
Yeah, and if you killed it or not.
Wow.
Which I think personally, if you're dreaming of that,
yeah,
there's other issues that are more intense that you should focus on. Okay, this one
You should go to limbo if you're killing the cat.
Right, exactly.
You should be stuck in limbo.
Okay, let's try and speed through these because I still have sleep questions, okay? Sand.
Time passing.
Great, love it.
In the desert.
And wait, okay.
Quicksand.
Oh.
It means that you're going
to... Sorry.
Because you're going to get into some quicksand the next few days.
Yeah, you're going to run into quicksand.
Can I just say, growing up, like, as a kid, it's like quicksand's like you're fearful of it, but you don't encounter it like at all.
Oh, yeah, never.
But it seems like a common problem that you'd have to like...
Yeah, it's in a lot of like cartoons.
Yeah, honestly, if someone told me where I could find it, I'd go towards it.
Yeah, I want to check that out.
That's hilarious. That's true. It's mysterious and cool. Sand. Whether the sand was on a beach, in your food, or in your shoes, it is a warning. It is warning you to be wary of new acquaintances who will try to exploit you.
Oh. Whoever wrote this is really worried about everyone.
Suspicious. That's so true. Okay, this one for me, it's one of the most common dreams, which I didn't know about. I thought I was special. But being chased. I'm usually being chased in my dream and having to escape somewhere, which maybe you know is like a common thing.
Oh, it is a common. I mean, that's a classic one people always talk about.
Okay, so I have.
But go ladies
let's hear
first.
Theirs.
Go ladies first.
I'll
ladies
say mine
first.
And you tell me what you think it is.
Being chased. I can't imagine it's good.
Yeah, sounds bad.
You're a coward?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Ouch.
Big time.
Yeah.
I think she's just basically.
No, can't interpret the dream.
Oh, sorry, I was distracted. They said, what do I think of
it? No. Being chased in a dream.
Oh, being chased in a dream, totally different. That probably means that someone's coming, you're going to encounter someone.
an acquaintance that will deceive you, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seems like most of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here, give me yours. Like, do you think that there's an exact interpretation?
No, but I think that when we talk about those post-traumatic stress and we talk about things of chasing, people chasing you, I kind of think it's you had something that happened in life that's maybe not the most pleasant all the time. But that's what
more
I think about it.
More of a comment on what happened before,
probably,
not what's going to
probably,
happen.
Probably, exactly.
These premonitions are crazy
as hell. Wait, are you saying dreams can't predict the future?
I can. And actually, there's a famous one. Abraham Lincoln, he had a premonition of his own death, like a few days before he died. He had like a dream, like a vivid dream where he was killed.
Wow.
So, well, who would he tell that? Guinness Book of No One.
Yeah, I don't know who he told it to. But it's like a thing. I don't know. Yeah. Look it up. Okay, being chased. Okay. One of the most commonly reported dreams, mostly because the anxiety we feel in the dream is so vivid, it makes it easier for us to remember it. Often the reason for these dreams comes not from the fear of actually being chased, but rather what we're running from. Chase dreams help us to understand that we may not be addressing something in our waking lives that requires our attention. Good. That's from Huffington Post, by the way, not Exemplar. Different tone. Mariana. I don't know. That kind of gave me a little mind tornado. It was like, what am I ignoring in my life that I'm being chased
all the
time?
One time I was chased by a T-Rex. What is that?
I don't know. Maybe there's something big that you're ignoring in your life.
Oh, you just saw Jurassic World Forbidden Kingdom.
When I was young, all of my dreams were me being chased and then I would escape and then I would have to save my family. What does that mean?
Oh, that's kind of similar with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I save a bunch of people.
My family.
And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
I'm usually by myself. And my family sort of is in a safe spot.
I mean, that sounds good.
Making me think that they sort of forgot me and I had to...
Wow, that's weird. Aww. Anyways, different people have different ways of falling asleep. They have like a glass of wine or they smoke some weed or something.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
Is that good for you? Is that bad for you?
Is smoking weed good for you?
Wow, just put me on an awkward position right there, you know? She has the bong underneath the table ready to go.
Well, we didn't shoot during the break.
So I always say this. I mean, I want to be like, everyone has different tricks, or you always hear things about how to get good sleep, you know? I always think of sleep like a puzzle, and each of the pieces of your puzzle will be like, for certain people, it's sound, some people, it's going to be temperature, certain people, it's going to be, you know, noise. So that's where there's certain things like white noise, keep the room cool, do you like to have
blue
light,
you know what I mean? People sleep better cold.
And the thing is that you always can make recommendations, but it doesn't work for everyone. How many times did you had a sleep recommendation like, that doesn't work for me, that's not
Oh,
me.
Yeah, all the time.
But the trick about sleep is finding out what is your missing piece of the puzzle.
Okay.
And that's why all these little tips only work for certain people. But how can you find that tip? So when you talk about getting good sleep, there's some generalized sleep hygiene things, but I will focus on the alcohol.
Okay.
So rule of thumb is that alcohol not good for sleep. Why? Does alcohol knock you out, ladies? What do you think? Yes. That's its job. It does a damn good job at it.
Too many times. It knocks you out.
Yeah.
So what is the downside about alcohol is you get multiple awakenings the second half of the night.
Oh.
And that's why...
Dehydration?
Now let me go super dork. When you talk about alcohol...
Wake up in the middle of the night, throw up.
Every single night.
Regardless of whether I drink.
Have you guys been at the bar, and then, you know, you're drinking, having a good time, chatting, and then someone, what do you guys call it? Breaks the seal. Oh, he loves it. Why don't you set the stable? He loves me, dude.
He loves me.
Yeah. So that's when you have to start running to the bathroom.
Right.
So what happens is that why you always run into the bathroom is that alcohol inhibits a hormone called ADH, antidiuretic hormone. Mm. And that's why you start running to the bathroom. You can imagine if you want to get good sleep at night, why would you want to keep on running to the bathroom?
Right.
And that's why when you drink alcohol, what happens the next day when you drink a lot? You feel very weak and tired, lethargic, because you're urinating so much, you lose a lot of important electrolytes. What are two of those? Number one, potassium.
Gatorade.
Number two, magnesium. That's why everyone wants to take magnesium. Right. I know. And then what's the big thing now? The big thing is that when you want to help a hangover, they tell you to pop lots of vitamins. Uh-huh. And who could tell me of you three? I'm going to put you on the spot, my residents.
Please.
What vitamin do they encourage you to take after a night of drinking?
I'm going to
ask the camera again.
B6.
That's totally wrong.
It's not magnesium or potassium.
It's B1. And what's another word for
B1?
I got the B.
Thymine.
I know, that's the huge thing.
I can tell.
So the big thing is that, and I'll feel a little more medical dorky for you guys and folks and everyone, is that after a big night of binge drinking, before you go to bed, what do you like to eat? Say it. Crap. You know what I mean? You like
chocolate.
Del Taco and all these things.
I say bread.
You know why? It's because alcohol inhibits the production of sugars and glucose in your body. Mm. And that's why you crave all this carbohydrates like bread. Mm. So the thing is, if you're going to get some good sleep, I wouldn't drink before going to bed. I know people say, I want my glass of wine, this beer, that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's why you feel tired during the day. You're waking up multiple times at night. So no alcohol before sleep. I had to say that one.
Okay, great. No, I like that.
Yep.
And the weed thing, if they like it,
the hugest topic right now is this, is that you call it weed, but it's not just weed. There's different receptors, right?
Uh-huh.
And so it depends on what part of the weed are we talking about.
Okay.
You know? So that's a different episode.
You can
get me back or I'll talk about weed all day with you. But yes, there are many people that believe whether it's weed or meditation or all these different things out there. Mm-hmm. But if it works for you, you tell your doctor about it, I'm happy.
Okay.
I'll come back for that episode too.
Yeah, me too.
Fantastic.
Let's do it.
We'll do that next week.
Whenever I roll into that one, the CBD oil, that's what it is. I consistently have crazy dreams if I take that.
Well, there are receptors.
Does that probably mean she's sleeping better though? No, because she's getting more.
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
But I like what you're saying. You know what I mean? The big question is always what I taught everyone. how are you functioning during the day? It's not just what's happening at night,
okay.
But people always say when they
She's
take
a low-functioning person.
Yeah.
So probably not a good
explainer. That's how I describe it.
But I hear stuff all the time. People take melatonin. Dr. Raj, I get dreams from my melatonin. So the answer is this. I mean, these are things you're not naturally taking. So if I have to be the mean doctor, I always believe this, is that, you know, taking super therapeutic levels of thiamine or B vitamins or magnesium, it doesn't really do anything. It could do bad things. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nothing is shown taking more than the recommended daily allowance is good for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if it works for you for sleep, you're doing well, I'm not going to be Debbie Downer about that.
Okay.
Okay.
Because you are known as the mean doctor.
I can't be the mean doctor.
Dr. Mean.
I know.
Dr. Mean. Which I thought
Dr.
was unfair.
Cash
but.
And Dr. Mean.
Producer Cash. Yeah. Okay, so caffeine is another one. Do you drink coffee, tea?
Yeah. I mean, the rule of thumb is this. So there's always a recommended allowance of how much caffeine you guys can have per day.
Okay.
It's in grams.
Yeah.
Can I ask my residents?
No.
How many grams of caffeine are we allowed to drink per day? Can I give you choices?
Yes.
Oh, see, I'm a nice guy. You know,
I knew the answer, but Nate, let's do choices.
I have it in my head.
I don't even have
2 grams, 4 grams, 6 or 8.
Wow.
I can't give 3 choices. That's
four.
You know what I mean?
I'll say 6.
I'll say 4 grams.
I'll say 4 also.
They're right.
Let's pause a moment.
Yeah.
No.
And it's scary because now I have to translate that because your audience is saying, what does 4 grams mean to me? You know what I mean? That's around 3 cups of coffee. You know what I mean?
Wow. 3 cups is a lot, I feel like.
8 ounce cups. 8 ounce cups of coffee. Or that could be only maybe 1 or 2, those energy drinks.
Right.
And I'm not a fan of those energy drinks.
No, they scare me.
It's sugar, it's crap, it's caffeine. And the question is this.
It says crap in the ingredient.
Yeah. Somewhere in there it says crap, you know. But the big thing is this. It's like, you know, if you ask someone, are you sleepy during the day? Because that's what I'm always asking people.
Sure.
They may say no as they're drinking their coffee.
Yeah.
You got to put things away. And the rule of thumb is always going to be this. Everyone's sensitive to caffeine. Some people are not. Mm-hmm. Sleep is individualized. If you know you're ultra sensitive, then obviously don't drink it later in the day. But the rule of thumb is going to be if you're going to have one before 2 p.m.
Gotcha.
That's kind of like the rule of thumb.
Oh, okay.
Know? Exactly.
It'll affect you.
But what if you wake up at like 3?
Can I give you a tip, though? I'm going to blow your little audience away here.
Great. I don't know why you waited so long.
I guess.
But all right.
Residents, who has heard of the caffeine nap?
Caffeine nap? No, I've not.
I have.
Give me knuckles for giving me like just freaking just awesome freaking just...
What did I get?
Out there. So there are people
for not
out
knowing?
There.
But I have
you do
heard
know?
It.
Okay, what is it? What is
yeah,
it?
She knows.
Isn't it like the best like combination of like energy boosts is like you take coffee and then take a power nap and then...
That's right.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa,
because little science...
It's like almost a doctor.
She is.
She's very cool.
She's going to follow me at USC tomorrow, dude.
Okay.
I'm
going
to give her a little white coat, hang out with me, you know?
Okay. But, and that's a promise.
So she's right in the sense that caffeine into your body, it takes around 20 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is you drink the caffeine product, tea, coffee's usually the classic thing, then you take a power nap. So let me ask my residents once again,
What
is the best time during the day to take a power nap?
Dr. Aaliyah?
I'm going to say 2 p.m.
That's what I was going to say.
That's correct. Why did you say that? Why did you say that?
I don't know. It
when
feels
nothing's
like...
going on at that
yeah.
time.
Well, you know you're not drinking coffee anymore.
It's when you want time to pass. You're just trying to get to dinner.
Trying to make it through.
Yeah, just have our lunch.
We have our own circadian rhythm. So we're supposed to feel sleepy 2 times during the day. When are we supposed to feel sleepy? Number one, at night.
Sure.
And number two, where?
2 p.m.
Right after lunch.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So since your circadian rhythm is already skewed towards sleeping anyways, that's where you could have a great power nap.
Wow.
And cool. I guess the easier question would be, how long should a nap be?
20 minutes.
20 minutes, I've heard, 15. Too.
Outstanding. Somewhere between 15 to 20 minutes.
Oh, so we're all right.
Wow. And now why? But why?
I hope you guys are keeping track of our score at home.
So why is it not... 40 or 50 minutes. Why does it want to be a shorter period of time?
Ethan,
you go first. No, Ethan, don't pick on them.
Okay, Professor, I would say, because for me at least, when I've napped in the past, and I love naps, by the way, if I nap too long, then I get very groggy. I wake up and I feel like I need to sleep a lot more. It feels like I'm going to bed.
Outstanding. Ethan, correct answer. Okay. That's called sleep inertia.
Inertia.
I'm dropping medical terms. That's what you got me here for,
that's right?
Yeah. So it's when you take a nap, you feel groggy than you did. And why is that? It's because you don't want to go to the deeper stages of sleep.
Oh,
you
want
to stay in the lighter stages. And that's why it's going to be about 20 minutes.
Okay.
All right.
I wonder why people don't take more naps, because I feel like everybody working, we're all, you know, it's 9 to 6 or whatever, 10 to 5, or whatever work schedule
is. Government won't let us.
Nobody's napping. Well, we have, you know, you have a 1 hour lunch break, but, you know, maybe it should be 40 minute lunch, 20 minute nap, and then we all feel better. Okay, where? At the next conference for
occupations?
TED Talk.
I could do a TED Talk.
Sorry.
Okay, so I want to talk about recording dreams, because I feel like that's something...
He totally researched the internet before talking to me.
I did very short Google searches, and then just like...
You Googled sleep.
Sleep, and then the first 10 things...
Before Dr. Raj in the spot here, dude.
I'm just curious if you think, because to me it sounds ridiculous, but there are some like very elementary stuff going on. So where are we? Where do you think it can go?
So I think we read the same article. So the big thing was is that there were many people... Well, this is a study where they were recording their brain waves. They had EEG, and then they woke them up and said, what did you dream? And they said, I dreamt of a car. I dreamt of this. So they went back and looked at their brain waves of what the brain waves looked like when they said they were dreaming of this certain object.
Okay.
So they an algorithm to say, if you see these waves, it means this object. Ooh. So then they actually looked at someone's whole algorithm when they slept. You look at their brain waves and said, this is what our algorithm showed. Did you dream about this? Oh. And they were right a couple times.
Interesting.
So this is very rudimentary. You said the best word. You know what I mean? That's a hot topic. They're doing these studies, you know, and we'll see.
Okay.
So
do you think, I mean, are you confident with, you know, like where we're going to go?
You know, I always like hearing about it. You know what I mean? I think that it's very pop science and we're just in the beginning stages. This is like an Inception movie in itself, but you never know. That's what technology is, you know?
Yeah.
So
would
we'll
you see. Because they mentioned, you know, eventually we could be live streaming our dreams out there. And I just, that to me, I wouldn't even want to do that. I would want to watch my dreams. But do you guys, would you guys feel comfortable?
You wouldn't let us watch?
I'd watch it first and make sure it's kosher and then show you guys. Is that for, like where we all land? Are you guys
Are you asking, would we like to live stream our dreams?
I'm asking you right now, if we could live stream your dreams, are you down?
No. Okay. Probably because I don't. Use live stream.
With anything.
That's a good point. I don't feel the need to live stream a lot of stuff.
That's a good
normally.
Point.
But if I was the only one with the ability to do it, I'd give the people what they want.
Yeah. That's what they want.
Yeah. No one would believe you either.
That's true.
Okay, I wanna end on a health note. I have a few things because I try to tell people, because I think there's a very common complaint that people don't get enough sleep and they're groggy and they feel like, I'm sure you hear it all the time.
Yes.
And so I'm always saying, like, do whatever you have to do to get good sleep. It's incredibly important for, I don't know, a multitude of reasons.
Of course.
And so I just wanted to get your professional speak on it, because I sound like an idiot when I tell people that okay, Ethan, whatever. But it says that you can
good impression.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
People do say that.
That it can like double your risk of cardiovascular diseses and ADHD and obesity. And then I also was looking up that certain foods can really affect your sleep.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
All right. He just gave me this broad open-ended question. Mm-hmm. He's like, All right, come up with what I do.
Make the show good.
Not making it easy on us.
I just hope for the best.
The three of us,
So let's talk about obesity first, okay?
Okay.
So, correct. When you are sleep deprived or you have insomnia, everyone always thinks you're going to be on the skinnier side. No. A lot of weight gain. The medical answer is there's a dysregulation of hormones. The two hormones out there I worry about is leptin and ghrelin. So when you actually, you want to sleep to get more leptin. Leptin begins with the letter L. L stands for lose weight.
Okay.
And if you're not getting that sleep, you get more G, which is ghrelin. Ghrelin stands for gain weight.
Oh.
So, but then in a practical sense, you can imagine if you have insomnia and you're up at night and you go to the fridge, are you going to get some celery and Evian water when you're up?
I mean, probably.
What?
That's the only thing in there.
That's all she keeps.
Yeah.
You know what she's going to get? The Choco Taco. That's what I would get. You know what I'm saying? So.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can imagine, you know, why is sleep important? Who in this room owns one of these Fitbits or sleep trackers?
I don't have one. Brett? Yeah, Brett has one.
So people always ask,
cash pants.
People
always say, you know, you wear these like little calorie counters on your thing, and people always wear them to sleep, and they wake up in the morning and they're like, oh, I burnt some calories while I'm lying in bed doing nothing.
Yeah.
So residents, can you burn calories while you're sleeping?
Yes.
Yes.
No, because your calories reset for the day.
Oh. The answer is yes. So who can tell me? Let's ask, you know, Ethan this, mm-hmm. because he is the host. We've seen the harder questions.
Yeah.
Ethan, what stage of sleep do we burn the most calories in?
REM sleep.
Oh, wait, ask him to name another stage.
Yeah.
N1, N2. Okay. N64 is my favorite.
And so if someone has poor sleep or not enough sleep, they're not getting into what?
REM. Mm-hmm. Sure.
You're to get what? Weight gain.
Okay.
And when you're sleep deprived, you get all these stress hormones like cortisol.
Mm-hmm.
And when cortisol gets really high, you know what happens to your blood pressure? Goes up.
Gotcha.
When cortisol is really high, what happens to your blood sugar? Goes up. And what are the two biggest diseases that happens when this happens? High blood pressure and diabetes. They're risk factors for heart disease.
Right.
So the answer is definitely yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, and then the last thing I'll say to end on a really good note is that we're trying to shift the paradigm of sleep. Because, you know, when we were growing up, what were some of the classic phrases we always talk about for sleep? I can sleep when I'm dead.
Yeah,
the early bird gets the worm. And one of these younger folks said to me, oh, sleep is a poor substitute for caffeine.
So, my go-to.
Go-to, you know?
Yeah, you and your Wall Street cronies.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, money. Also,
and, you know, and total sleep time, you know, in society, you know, when we go from the baby boomers to Gen X to these millennial types and whatever's going on, total sleep time is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. So I think there's a new mentality now is that we do need sleep. It is important. It functions in every single part of the body, whether it's going to be your memory, whether it's going to be cognition, whether it's just, you know, your relationships, you name it. So sleep is important. So despite all the inception we talked about today, I think we did a good public service announcement about sleep. I'm really happy for that.
That's the main point here is to get you three to tell people to live healthy lifestyles, right?
Mm-hmm. But what's the best position to sleep in, though?
Well, it depends.
Because I feel like I've read or heard people talk about, like, it's you have to sleep on your back or
if you sleep on your side, you get more wrinkles like over here.
Maybe I heard that you have to sleep on your back with a silk pillow so you don't get wrinkles.
Yeah.
Is that just for women?
You guys are so funny. Oh my God. So the answer is this. So who should not sleep on their back? Ethan?
Turtles.
People who worry about what? Obstructive sleep apnea.
Oh.
People who snore. Why? What's Dr. Raj's favorite G word? Gravity.
Oh.
So when you actually lay back, what happens to your tongue? It falls into the airway. And that's why if you have sleep apnea, don't sleep on your back.
Okay.
Once if you have congestive heart failure, don't sleep flat. You're going to get this sensation of shortness of breath.
Mm.
Let's say you're a pregnant female. Mm. What side should you never sleep on if you're a pregnant female?
Stomach.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. The right side.
Oh.
The heart stuff.
It's to press the vena cava.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But so, also not on your stomach.
You guys got
and of course on the stomach also. You know?
Yeah, okay.
So it really depends. But stomach, worse for the neck, because you're going to be like this.
Right. So how do you sleep?
So it really depends.
You sleep
great. It's confidential.
Whoa. What? Out of all this information, you can't tell us?
I bet he's like,
you want me to film me asleep?
No.
I'll do it.
I bet it's in a hammock.
Yeah, it's in a hammock.
Yeah, on the beach.
Yeah.
That's how Dr. Raj sleeps.
Well, on a sleeping note, because I want to get off this topic of my sleeping habits.
Sure,
you know what
I'll
mean?
Get back to it. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I just, you know, today I did an episode, and it was about something called a gravity blanket.
Whoa.
See, I'm just dropping great material for your show.
Wow.
I mean, it sounds like you're trying to promote
you're
a blanket.
You're paying nothing, dude. So it was really interesting.
Yeah, so
have you folks sort of weighted blankets?
No.
So it's a really big thing, and I thought it was ingenious, where it's kind of like a blanket that's based upon your weight, a certain percent of it, you know, and you wear it because everyone's different. Some people, when they like to sleep, they like to what? Cuddle.
Oh, sure.
Snuggly.
Yeah.
So, and it doesn't surprise you because when we talk about sleep problems, you know, insomnia, anxiety, and people just like that. So it's a weighted blanket. And also because of that, there was another disease. My wife's actually a rheumatologist. She's a joint doctor. Mm-hmm. She sees a lot of people with something called fibromyalgia.
Okay.
Have you heard of that? It's a chronic pain disorder. Mm-hmm. It's like a fatigue disorder. Mm-hmm. And you have these like trigger points on the body. But when you use this weighted blanket, it kind of helps with some of the pain stuff.
Oh.
And you can imagine pain, not addressing it, will lead to what?
More poor sleep.
Oh, yeah, more pain.
Okay.
So anyway, so, you know, you're talking about what are all the tricks out there? There's so many out there. Sleep is huge. It's like, you know, any topic we talk about, you can say what's going out there, whether it be technology, what alarm, what this, what blanket.
Yeah.
It's big.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say, because of my own curiosity, being cold when you sleep. For me, it's easier to sleep when I'm cold. And then I was also told a long time ago after a shower, when you're, because you're like cooling down, that it's easier to sleep. Does that make sense?
Well, have I have. Can I give one of my favorite Dr. Raj phrases?
Oh, come on. Let them all out.
Gravity.
So, the answer. So, you know, I always tell my patients.
There's no.
So your body temperature has a circadian rhythm.
Okay.
So you always remember, when you lay down, your body cools down. Mm-hmm. When you get up, you warm up.
Ooh.
So the whole mentality is, yes, in most individuals, we tend to want to be cooler at night.
Okay.
So I could totally buy that.
Great. And yep. Gravity.
My favorite G word.
Yeah.
My favorite G word.
Yeah. The movie we talked about today.
That's right. Yeah. Gravity with Sandra Bullock. Yeah. Okay,
you should
great.
Give him the kick, by the way.
Oh,
right
yeah,
in the
yeah.
chair, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Do it. We'll see if it works.
That was a pretty good like montage in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Part.
Mm-hmm.
Which part?
The montage,
the
of, the
montage
kicks.
Of giving the kick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Over and over again.
Yeah, it's a good time. Honestly, a few parts seemed like a comedy movie to me, but that one was the most.
Yeah.
It's just, George going down a bunch of times. I love that. Okay, anything you guys want to plug before we go? Something people should check out?
The Best Friend Show?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's
yeah.
a monthly show here mm-hmm. in LA, if you
yeah.
live in LA, or if you're visiting LA.
Yeah,
you yeah. can, we accept visitors.
You accept? It's, oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Our Instagram is Best Friend Show LA.
The Best Friend Show
oh,
LA.
The Best Friend Show.
The Best Friend Show
yeah.
LA.
And
okay.
we're at KimAndAaliyah.com.
KimAndAaliyah.com for all your Kim and Aaliyah needs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
Fantastic. And Dr. Raj?
Two plugs.
Please.
Did I get two in here?
Yeah, yeah.
So for, you know, Dr. Raj media stuff, check out my website, rajdasgupta.com. But a big chunk of what I love doing is real medicine. So if you're in med school...
Nice.
What?
You know, I have a whole book series. I have all these things about, you know, your lungs and your heart. And it's my website's called, don't laugh, beyondthepearls.net.
Oh, sorry, wait. Never mind.
Why is it beyond the... And you laugh the most at
yeah.
that, by the way.
Because they were laughing on the background.
Right, that's true.
So I have a book series where I actually wrote books about, you know, medicine, pediatrics, OB-GYN, surgery, about kind of like those tips where when a med student or resident's in the hospital, not just to know the bare minimal knowledge, but to go beyond the pearls. Yeah.
Well, do you guys know what the pearls part?
Like a pearl of wisdom?
Like pearls? Oh, thank you. Favorite person ever.
Yeah, me too.
Kim to the left.
What?
All right.
Kim to the left. And make sure you visit kimtotheleft.com.
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, thank you guys for joining me. I had a great time. I hope
Thanks
you guys had fun
us.
Too.
Me too, me too.
And That's we'll good. See you next time on Bad Science. Bye-bye.
Bad Science is hosted and produced by me, Ethan Edinburgh. Our associate producer, Megan Bates, is unfortunately not here anymore. She moved to San Francisco and is working with the Seeker team out there. Megan, good luck. We miss you. Thank you for everything. I am not going to beg you to come back, but please, please come back as soon as you possibly can. Everything is falling apart. This place is a disaster without you. I'm not going to go into detail, but I did twist my ankle trying to go down some stairs today and basically broke my neck. So I'm not saying that's your fault, but I'm struggling to find who else to blame besides you. So good luck in San Francisco. I hope you're having a good time, but please wrap it up and get back here. Anyways, the inceptionative producer is Brett Kushner. You can follow us on Instagram at Bad Science Show, of course, and send us an email at badscience@seeker.com. That's badscience@seeker.com for all your suggestions, questions, concerns, wants, desires, dreams, goals, and whatever else you want to send us. I really appreciate getting messages from you guys. All right, I think that's it. I'll see you next week. Bye.